Hello. Thank you for joining us today. My name is Tom Lane with Sabbath Bible Study. Fear tries to dominate the view we have of the world around us. Listen carefully to the news, and the news is presented with an informational focus that slants towards fear. Watch political candidates debate, and fear often drives the debate, as we are told what we should expect to fear if the other candidate is elected. When we consider the world in which we live, fear tries to shift our worldview, whether it be looking at the environment, man's impact on this planet, or how man treats fellow man. We tend to fear that which we do not know. Instead of using the unknown as inspiration to discover and study, we tend to fear. Centuries ago, when the religious and political elites feared what they did not understand in the world around them, they persecuted those who sought to understand. People who appeared different were ostracized, and some were killed out of a basis of fear. As Christians, we are not called to live in fear, nor are we given a spirit of fear. Living in this world, we will see the fear that envelops so many around us, and we cannot allow fear to envelop us. Unlike the world around us that may reject God or think they know God, we know God and through baptism have received the Holy Spirit. That Holy Spirit is like a spiritual muscle that needs to be exercised. The more we use the Holy Spirit like a muscle, the stronger and more developed it becomes. The less we use the Holy Spirit like a muscle, the weaker and less developed it becomes. Unlike muscles, the Holy Spirit is never impacted by our age or other physical conditions. This world is so disconnected from God, and they fear so much of what they do not understand about God and the realm of angels and demons. We do not share in that fear because through the Holy Spirit, we have been given a spirit of power, love, and a sound mind. Fear does not factor into the equation. 2 Timothy 1, verse 3. I thank God, whom I serve from my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also, wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God, which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, and of love, and of a sound mind. Considering that we have been given a spirit of power, love, and a sound mind, today we will examine what that means for us. In 2 Timothy 1, verse 7, which we just read, power is translated from the Greek word dunamis, Strong's Greek word 1411. Sometimes Greek words are translated into different English words, and such is the case in Matthew 25, where dunamis is translated as ability. In this passage, the kingdom of God is compared to a man traveling to a far country, and when he returns, he sees how much his servants have increased their talents, showing that the power of the Spirit we've been given is not something that can be hidden, nor is it something that can remain stagnant. The Holy Spirit is something that must be continuously growing within us. Matthew 25, verse 14. For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country, who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey. Then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same, and made them other 5 talents. And likewise he that had received 2, he also gained other 2. But he that had received 1 went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them. And so he that had received 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more. His Lord said unto him, Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. He also that had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents beside them. His Lord said unto him, Well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Then he, which had received the 1 talent, came and said, Lord, I knew thee that thou art an hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown, and gathering where thou hast not strawed. And I was afraid, and went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast, that is thine. His Lord answered, and said unto him, Thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sowed not, and gather where I have not strawed. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received mine own with usury. Take therefore the talent from him, and give it unto him which hath 10 talents. For unto every one that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance. But from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath. And cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness, there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Dunamis is also translated as deeds, reinforcing that we are to do something with the Holy Spirit we have been given. We are not to bury or hide it. 2 Corinthians 12, verse 11. I am become a fool in glorying. Ye have compelled me, for I ought to have been commended of you, for in nothing am I behind the very chiefest apostles, though I be nothing. Truly, the signs of an apostle were wrought among you in all patience, in signs and wonders and mighty deeds. For what is it wherein you were inferior to other churches, except it be that I myself was not burdensome to you? Forgive me this wrong. Dunamis is translated as might, as in strength. When Jesus Christ was resurrected, God resurrected him with a might that exceeded any might during that time or that will ever come. Similarly, we who are called as the foolish of this world can, through the Holy Spirit, develop spiritual might that will confound so many in this world today. Ephesians 1, verse 20. Which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. And hath put all things under his feet, and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. Might never means physical aggression or violence. When we are strengthened with all might, we never bring harm to another person, and the might that we are given gives us patience, tolerance, and happiness, almost as if these are spiritual superpowers. Colossians 1, verse 9. For this cause, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power, unto all patience and longsuffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Dunamis is translated as miracles. When God used Paul to bring special miracles to people, God accomplished that through the power of the Holy Spirit, to the point that others sought to make money from false miracles. Those false miracles had no connection to the Holy Spirit, and because of that, those who sought to fool people were attacked by demons. Acts 19, verse 11. And God wrought special miracles by the hands of Paul, so that from his body were brought unto the sick handkerchiefs or aprons, and the diseases departed from them, and the evil spirits went out of them. Then certain of the vagabond Jews, exorcists, took upon them to call over them which had evil spirits the name of the Lord Jesus, saying, We adjure you by Jesus whom Paul preacheth. And there were seven sons of one Sceva, a Jew, and chief of the priests, which did so. And the evil spirit answered and said, Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are you? And the man in whom the evil spirit was leaped on them, and overcame them, and prevailed against them, so they fled out of that house naked and wounded. The power of the Holy Spirit gives to some the working of miracles, to another the gift of prophecy, to another the discerning of spirits, to another the ability to speak and interpret foreign languages. But all these gifts stem from the power of the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 4. Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another diverse kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. In 2 Timothy 1, verse 7, where we are told we are given a spirit of power, love, and a sound mind, love is translated from the Greek word agape, Strong's Greek word 26, meaning godly love. Like dunamis, agape is translated into different English language words in the Bible. Agape is frequently translated as charity. Paul shows us in his first letter to the Corinthians that without agape, we are spiritually hollow, which would make sense because love is one of the three broad areas given to us through the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 1. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become as sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith, so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Paul reminded Timothy of the need to study to show ourselves approved to God by focusing on what is written in the Bible instead of extended interpretations and debates of what is written in the Bible. He also reminded of the need to flee youthful lusts from sex and every knee-jerk reaction common to man, and to instead to follow righteousness, faith, peace, and charity. 2 Timothy 2, verse 15. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. But shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. And their word will eat as doth a canker, of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus, who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already, and overthrow the faith of some. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having the seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. And let every one that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor, and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. Flee also youthful lusts, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. But foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing that they do gender strifes. And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. Agape is translated as love. When Jesus was explaining that the greatest love one person can have for another is to lay down their life for their friends, the word agape was used. When Jesus commanded us to love one another, agape was used again. John 15, verse 12. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends, if ye do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth, I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father, I have made known unto you. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you, and ordained you, that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. These things I command you, that you love one another. Paul reminded the Romans that love needs to be genuine. For Christians, there can be no phony love. We do not have love just for the sake of appearances. We must have genuine love, hating that which is evil, and clinging to that which is good. We use love to overcome evil with good. Romans 12, verse 9. Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil, cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor, preferring one another. Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer, distributing to the necessity of saints, given the hospitality, bless them which persecute you, bless and curse not. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind one toward another, mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. Recompense to no man evil for evil, provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath, for it is written, Vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink, for in so doing thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. In another place in Romans, Paul reminded them that the only thing we should owe another person is love. Because when we love others beside ourselves, we fulfill the law. Romans 13, verse 8. Owe no man anything but to love one another. For he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. For this, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet, and if there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in the saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. Paul wanted the love of the Philippians to grow even more and have their love based in knowledge and judgment, showing that the love we have through the Holy Spirit is not an unbridled love, but a love rooted in biblical principles. Philippians 1, verse 3. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you, all making requests with joy. But for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Even as it is meet for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my bonds and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, ye all are partakers of my grace. For God is my record. How greatly I long after you all in the bowels of Jesus Christ. And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment, that ye may approve all things that are excellent, that ye may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness which are by Jesus Christ, unto the glory and praise of God. The love that we have through the Holy Spirit that is based on biblical principles is not directed at only others of the faith, but to all people, including those who are not of the faith. 1 Thessalonians 3, verse 11. Now God himself and our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ direct our way unto you, and the Lord make you to increase and abound in love one toward another and toward all men, even as we do toward you, to the end he may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God, even our Father, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all his saints. In 2 Timothy 1, verse 7, where we are told we are given a spirit of power, love, and a sound mind, mind is translated from sophronismos, Strong's Greek word 4995. And 2 Timothy 1, verse 7 is the only place it is used in the Bible. It means discipline and self-control, and Paul uses a similar word in writing to Titus, when he tells Titus that older women should teach younger women to be sober, in addition to many other things, and that young men should be sober-minded. Sober implies there is a determined seriousness to what is being done, but it does not imply dark and gloomy, like the word somber might imply. Having a determined seriousness to our life and calling is one way the Holy Spirit is made manifest in our life. Titus 2, verse 1. But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine, that the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, in charity, in patience. The aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things. They may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Young men likewise, exhort to be sober-minded. There are other verses that clue us in on a sound mind. When Paul describes ministerial qualities to Timothy, the wife of the bishop is described as sober, showing that with increased authority comes greater responsibility, even for the spouse. 1 Timothy 3, verse 1. This is a true saying. If a man desire the office of a bishop, he desireth a good work. A bishop then must be blameless, the husband of one wife, vigilant, sober, of good behavior, given to hospitality, apt to teach, not given to wine, no striker, not greedy of filthy lucre, but patient, not a brawler, not covetous, one that ruleth well his own house, having his children in subjection with all gravity. For if a man know not how to rule his own house, how shall he take care of the church of God? Not a novice, lest being lifted up with pride he fall into the condemnation of the devil. Moreover, he must have a good report of them which are without, lest he fall into reproach and the snare of the devil. Likewise must the deacons be grave, not double-tongued, not given to much wine, not greedy of filthy lucre, holding the mystery of the faith in a pure conscience. And let these also first be proved. Then let them use the office of a deacon, being found blameless. Even so must their wives be grave, not slanderers, sober, faithful in all things. Let the deacons be the husbands of one wife, ruling their children and their own houses well. For they that have used the office of a deacon well, purchase to themselves a good degree and great boldness in the faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All of us are to demonstrate a sound mind by being sober. We understand the gravity of the calling which we've been given. We do not ignore that. We do not pretend like the calling we have been given is something that can be taken lightly. With serious determination, we put on the breastplate of faith and love and the helmet of salvation. We know we are in a spiritual fight that will last until either our death and resurrection or the return of Jesus Christ, and we are changed, whichever comes first. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 1. But of the times and seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say, peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them, as travail upon a woman with a child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that the day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are all the children of light, and the children of the day. We are not of the night, nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep, as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us, who are of the day, be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet, the hope of salvation. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together, and edify one another, even as also ye do. Being sober means we are vigilant. We watch and pray because we know our adversary, Satan the devil, is constantly in search of any whom he may spiritually devour. Our serious determination means we use faith and know that whatever difficulties we have in life, others of the faith have also faced similar difficulties. And we also know that God will use these trying situations to bring us to spiritual perfection. 1 Peter 5, verse 8. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. In a world with many scary headlines and uncertainty of what might happen, we have not been given a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. And that knowledge should be uplifting and empowering. The power we have been given, the dunamis we have been given, strengthens us. When others are weak and fear, we are spiritually strong. Like Paul wrote to the Ephesians, we are strengthened with might by the Holy Spirit, and that strengthening allows Jesus Christ to live in our hearts by faith. That strength roots and grounds us in love, allowing us to know the fullness of the love of Jesus Christ. Ephesians 3, verse 14. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. The love that we have through the Holy Spirit will never fail. In the end, this love will beat out prophecies, languages, and knowledge. To this day, the love of the Holy Spirit endures, but prophecies given by men have come and gone unfulfilled. Languages that were once common, like Latin, are now nearly extinct. And knowledge, like the knowledge of construction techniques to build the pyramids of Egypt, has been lost. The love of the Holy Spirit is greater than prophecies, languages, and knowledge. just as love, sometimes translated as charity, is greater than faith and hope. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 8. Charity never faileth, but whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known. And now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three. But the greatest of these is charity. The sound mind we have been given through the Holy Spirit gives us a serious determination. We seek the kingdom of God and God's righteousness, and knowing we seek this, we seek with serious determination. As we seek, we are watchful. Just like a driver driving to a destination is mindful of potential dangers to the safety of the vehicle they are driving and its occupants, as we seek the kingdom of God and God's righteousness, we are mindful of the potential dangers we might encounter during our journey of faith, and we watch for those dangers. 2 Timothy 4, verse 1. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry, knowing that we are closer to the end time with each and every passing day, we are increasingly sober. We face life with serious determination to finish our journey of faith, looking to Jesus Christ, who is the author and finisher of our faith. We watch. We are mindful of those things which could be dangerous to faith, so that nothing derails us from our journey of faith. With that serious determination comes prayer and love. When we speak, we are deliberate with the words we use, knowing we can use words for good or for evil. We choose to use words for good, sounding like the wisdom of God. 1 Peter 4, verse 7. But the end of all things is at hand. Be therefore sober, and watch unto prayer. And above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover the multitude of sins. Use hospitality one to another without grudging, as every man hath received the gift. Even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen. The serious determination we have leads us to focus on the return of Jesus Christ, knowing that when Jesus returns, we want to be doing what he expects of us. And in the shortest summary of what could be described, we are to be living our lives as being holy, because Jesus Christ is holy. 1 Peter 1, verse 13. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, Be sober and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, Be holy, for I am holy. There is much that this world fears, showing that this world does not have the same spirit of power, love, and a sound mind as we have. That fear causes so many things to be done that shows weakness, a lack of love, and poor decisions. Fear is so prevalent that fear can be used to control the masses. If you ever read the Michael Crichton book State of Fear, that was the premise behind the book. When politicians run for office, the use of fear is an unstated campaign tactic, as it is often said that voting for the other candidate will cause something bad to happen. Fear causes many to stay right where they are in their own lives. When opportunities present themselves to improve their own quality of life, the unknown of what bad thing could happen outweighs the good that could come. Where fear abounds, power and strength are weak. The weaker a person is, the more they tend to fear. The more we rely on God and Jesus Christ to supply our needs, the less we will fear. Where fear abounds, love is hard to find. Love will get us through just about any situation, especially when love is coupled with biblical principles. Where fear abounds, sound reasoning in our mind is muted as fear takes center stage. We choose to endure in the face of what can bring fear as we watch and pray with serious determination to seek the kingdom of God and God's righteousness. Thank you for joining us today. God willing, we'll get together next time on the Sabbath. Until then, thank you for joining us today.